On this episode of The Playbook, I have Shane Riggs, founder of VA Group, and we're going to talk about the true value from virtual assistants, which are more than ever needed today. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have Shane Riggs. He is the founder of the VA Group. Welcome to The Playbook, Shane.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Very excited.
So when people think of the VA Group, they're probably thinking about the Veterans Administration. I immediately go to something much more important, or equally important, I should say, because it's the future. It's virtual assistants. And not new, right? Virtual assistants have been around for years and years, but absolutely it has hit a chasm now that we've been forced to work virtually. I think people are realizing how valuable virtual assistants can be.
Now, you are definitely not alone. We've definitely had a few phone calls when we first started out wanting to join veterans, essentially. And, you know, where's the next veterans meeting and things like that, kind of getting the wrong idea. So yes, VA virtual assistants, it is very, very big right now. We are in a big technology era, and it's the most easy, convenient, and cheapest way to grow and automate your business. And it's a fantastic time to be in here.
Well, the other thing about your career, since this is The Playbook, that I'm really stressing upon people today in this time of pause, compressed uncertainty, and accelerated change, is you've had a very, like mine, eclectic career. Your career seems to be based off of skills, knowledge, and desire, not a certain industry. And I'd love for you to share with us, you know, your perspective of how you've evolved and angled towards being the founder of a virtual assistant company, compared to, you know, starting out with you're the second person in a week that went to the Art Institute of California. And so maybe give us a little bit of background of your career journey and what you learned at each of those steps of the way that has assisted you with the virtual assistant business.
You know, it's definitely been a bumpy road. And I'll tell you right now, I come from a single mother. I have four brothers as well. And which is kind of the same story as you had, and I just heard with your mom as a second grade school teacher. But my background, I actually started work at Verizon Wireless selling cell phones, and really absorbed and took in as the technology era kind of took over, which started, in my opinion, in 2007, which is when I started with Verizon Wireless. And with 5 years of just watching texting and emails, which was the huge big thing back then, is emailing on your phone and texting, which is huge, really starting to evolve and adapt, I just became more and more inspired about technology. And I took a short turn in the road with culinary, because I've always grown fond of making food and eating food, which is probably the bigger thing that I do now is eating. And I went to culinary school at the Art Institute, and, you know, I actually was on the show Chopped. I went to New York. I got a scholarship. I ended up winning, which was great. Paid for $15,000, you know, outside of that. And I thought, this is it. And then I went into the field for about 2 years and quickly learned that I don't want to be working 60 to 80 hours a week and, you know, not making much money. And so then I started venturing into digital marketing. And I learned from quickly with gurus like Billie Jean's Marketing, Tony Robbins, Gary Vaynerchuk, Sam Ovens, which have all been big inspirations to me. I saw these average Joes, in my opinion, which they're definitely not, but where they started from, they were average Joes, how they just became somebody. And that was really inspiring to me. And just putting in the extra work ethic and learning from their failures was what made them. And that's what slowly grew and started the VA Group. Now, my digital marketing background, we did everything. We did SEO, PPC, Google, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I mean, you name it, we did it for every single person. And when I adapted those skills to the virtual assistant group, I was able to accommodate being niche specific and being able to grow my clientele, which is marketers, entrepreneurs, and business coaches, to where they want to be with my background and skill set. So it's been a long, bumpy career, and I still got a lot to learn, that's for sure.
You know, the great lesson that you bring up, especially with all those mentors, which is fun for me because my digital marketing mentor, as you know, social media mentor is Gary Vaynerchuk as well. But it's really fun because I like the fact that you see them as average Joes, because I think it's important for entrepreneurs out there, people in general, to understand that even those great names, Tony Robbins and Gary Vaynerchuk, and even, you know, myself, we all started where we didn't want to be. And I think that's an important lesson, that you have to start where you don't want to be and then keep angling towards where you think you want to be and have faith that you're going to end up somewhere better. And I think all the names that you listed, including myself, would tell you that's exactly where I have led my career. My wife always says, you're so blessed. You know, you've always loved what you do. I said, no, I've learned to love the suck, right? I learned to find the light, the love, and the lessons in what sucked about my life and what sucked about my jobs. I was selling legal research online in 1992 with XT computers and DOS running operating systems and 9,600 baud modems. You know, not my first choice as a kid. I wanted, right? I wanted to be Marcus Allen, and that wasn't really working out for me. So not my first choice, but what I have is that average Joe commonality of superpower, that I must be what I can be. And I was willing to angle toward that. Where in your mind were you angling as you were, you know, moving through the culinary experiences and the education? What in your mind was, you know, the holy grail out there that you were angling towards?
So first thing, David, you're very humble in your approach. And I've listened to a couple of your podcasts and YouTube videos. And the fact that you went from, you know, somebody else's advice about being a lawyer and joining that path because that's going to make you rich and famous and buy the house for your mom and the car for your mom and everything's going to coincide. You wanted bigger and better things and you grasped that opportunity. And that's exactly what I did. I just learned from myself and from people that have already made these decisions and were already successful in that. So instead of, you know, learning from people that haven't done before, I actually took the right steps of people that have already been in the field where I want to be and emulated them, which is exactly what I'm assuming you did. And with the, you know, work ethic and never wanting to give up, that's what drove me to where I am today. And I still have big, big aspirations and goals where I want to be. And I'm not there yet, but I know I will be, because I'm very competitive. I know what it's going to take to get there. I see the path in front of me. I write down my goals every 3 months and I accomplish them. And because that's exactly what it needs to take to get there.
What's so funny about that too is I'm thinking about Rich and Famous and Chevy Chase. Gary's in that position now. You know, Gary's always telling me, can I get the rich without being famous? That's what Chevy Chase always liked. Now, talk about big aspirations. You're sitting in a very sweet spot, not by accidents. I always say that the mathematical equation of luck is what you pay attention to and give intention to equals the coincidences that occur in our life. So both of our lives, these coincidences are not by accident. They're by intention and attention. But, you know, the virtual assistant world we were talking earlier is just fulfilled with value, right? And everything that I do has to have that value. And part of the reason I wanted to have you on the playbook is that I see you're very value-centric. I was hoping maybe you could share a lot of the value of a virtual assistant today that may not be obvious. You know, obviously there's the savings and costs compared to a full-time employee, taxes, workman's comp, et cetera. I always say, if you don't like somebody, wish upon them employees and overhead. That would be just one reason to have a virtual assistant. You know, my dad, I love that, right? He's like, you don't like someone, say, oh, I hope your business grows and you have lots of employees in a big office. And meanwhile, you just cursed them. Well, you are the curse solver. The VA group can solve the curse of Dave Meltzer. You could have lots of employees and very little overhead, but there's some hidden value in virtual assistants. Can you share some of the things you're seeing, especially now during COVID?
First off, I think I have my first book, Curse Solver. I'm liking that. I'm gonna have you sign on that, trademark it.
I'll write the forward. I'll write the forward for you.
Perfect. Thank you. So. The very first thing that I tell people is you need to see big picture. And because a lot of the time, every single day, I deal with entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, small businesses. Occasionally, I deal with bigger businesses that need multiple virtual assistants. But 95% of my businesses are small businesses and entrepreneurs. And I tell them, I said, where do you see yourself in a year? Not 5 years, in 1 year. Okay, what's the game plan to that success? Well, they always say they need more clients. Okay, well, what's going to happen when you get those 10 new clients, those 20 new clients? How are you going to automate that? Well, I'm going to hire more people to do that. There you go. So you have an envision to gain more client acquisition and growth, but you don't really have a game plan on how you're going to handle that quantity and quality. So where we come in, and my background in marketing is we automate their business, but we have everything templated. So everything is they clock in and clock out. They write a full daily report in detail of what they did. We track everything. We use VPNs and LastPass. So we'll never ask you for a username or password. We sign NDAs with all of our customers. We even pay our virtual assistants very fair. We treat, we give them health benefits. We give them 13-month pay. We even pay for their cell phone bill. And that's the thing is from start to finish, we handle our employees like we would handle ourselves. And that's what they would want for their business. So envisioning long-term growth and having a game plan of action of how to handle the growth is where we come in and help our customers and clients see.
You know, one of the other areas that I'm so interested in, and obviously I'm a big fan, but also a customer of yours for a big reason. And for me, it's the same reason. The reason I use VA Group is the same reason that I don't invest in stocks. And I'll explain that in a minute, because I had learned, you know, obviously I paid a lot of dummy tax by losing everything, that if I just would not have the emotional side of making investments and taking my attention away from the one thing I wanted to do, which was to provide value, to make money, help people and have fun, empower others, over a billion people to be happy. What if I could remove all of that resistance and emotion that was a result of investing in the stock market, something I couldn't control? And if it went up, way up, I'd waste emotion being happy and being a genius. And if it went way down, I'd waste emotion being a moron. The same thing really holds true with the VA group that I find is, you know, the emotional aspect of, especially with millennials who hold a lot of these positions, it wears you out. You know, I had mentioned it earlier, but one of the things that gets very difficult in a business is caring so much to teach people gratitude and empathy, accountability. I like the separation and the expertise of a virtual assistant. I don't have to go through all the emotional connection of, you know, you're being mean to me, you're hurt, you're feeling, you know, constructive. It is very, you know, very critical and pragmatic and performance oriented. And I understand in my culture, I want those family and friend relationships that I have in my business, but not everyone, because I literally would be exhausted. I mean, just with the people that I have right now, it's the most exhausting thing. It's worse than the stock market because I care so much about them. I like having employees I don't really care about. I'm not responsible for, you know, it's an outsourced service and, you know, you care about them and you provide the culture. They need to perform and they can perform while sleeping. Those are two things that make what you do so valuable to others. You know, where do you though, because they have to have that emotional connection somewhere, you provide all of that to them. Can you kind of explain what you do on your side to make sure that they're fulfilled, energetic, inspired, because the performance of your people are incredible.
I need to hire you as a motivational speaker for the VA group. That was perfectly said. And I mean, all of those exact reasons, really are core values there, which is great. So, and speaking to what they can and can't do, the possibilities are endless, and which is so great because our emphasis is on marketing, but you won't have that personal relationship of looking at them. I mean, if you're having morning and you're having a bad morning or previous night, you don't have to talk about it to your employees or coworkers, just grunt. And regardless, like you just mentioned, if they have a task list that they need to accomplish every single day, and our managers are going to micromanage them to make sure it gets done. And we're going to track and monitor their time. Everything is done so the client doesn't have to worry about a thing. So if you want them to work and you want them to prospect and you want your calendar full the day before, it's going to get done. And guess what? The next day you have booked appointments. You don't need to worry about that client interaction the employee interaction. And it's done for you, which is the best part about virtual assistants. On top of that, they can actually think and grow outside the box and make recommendations. If you say, hey, I want this, 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 and this, and finding out that, hey, it's also better if you also do this and this and this, that's it's even better. They're thinking outside the box because they're focused in one niche. And I keep saying that because it's true. If you have all your failures and successes in one industry, you now learn how to grow. And that's what I try to get my clients to do.
And one last thing as we finish up to a hidden value that's so important in every aspect, and it's the vetting process. You know, when I was a vice president of sales, it would cost me over $100,000 if I picked the wrong sales guy. It would cost, right? After I trained them. And so on average, a virtual assistant, I read this number. Please, I believe 99% of all numbers and statistics are made up. So don't hold me to it. But it's approximately $50,000 to get a regular assistant, an executive assistant up and running. And that's what it would cost if they would leave. You take on all of that expense. You vet them. You prepare them. None of the heartache. You never have to hire, fire, et cetera. All of those things by itself are equal to or greater than the value of what the assistant's performance does for them. And I really want to point out, what do you do? Because vetting is so difficult to provide such capable workers to clients like myself.
Quality is our number one thing in finding a perfect virtual assistant for the client. So we do all of our own vetting in-house, and we've learned from our mistakes that what to do and what not to do. But we do IQ tests, personality tests, language tests, and we actually have an HR team that everything is already documented in SOP, where they literally watch videos, they know through training, and then for 2 weeks after all this has been completed, they have back-end training on a certain client that the client's already aware about, where they can get hands-on training. So we can determine before they're even assigned a client if they're going to be a good fit. Because regardless of the vetting, regardless of the tests, regardless of everything that you put them through, it's not going to matter until you throw them in there. And we do that for 2 weeks inside on the back end to make sure that they're worthy before putting in there. Yes, it took us a long, long time to figure out the vetting, but we do it all in-house. Everything that we do is in-house, which I love. But it's definitely expensive. It's done the wrong way. That's for sure. So find the right virtual assistant the first time and have it done the right way.
Well, we could write a second book together just called Dummy Tax. Yeah. And it's so applicable to the VA group because you have paid a tax that most people, it's much more expensive than the taxes we have to pay federal, state. That tax, or sales tax for that matter, the dummy tax is completely resolved with the VA group. Well, Shane, I really appreciate you joining me on the playbook. What great lessons. And if you haven't checked out Virtual Assistants, you have to check it out, especially the VA group. Highly recommended by the playbook and Dave Meltzer. Thank you, Shane, for joining me, Dave Meltzer, here on Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making the playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with the playbook.